I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
Today, I have the pleasure of being reunited with a woman who got me to shoot underwater, which is not a comfortable place for me to be necessarily, and who is a master of photography and art based in Houston. Diana Waxback, thank you so much for being here. It's so nice to see you.
Well, thanks, Annika. It's so nice to see you too.
So I would love to hear, because I know you've always loved art. Your family has been involved in the art scene. So we talk about that. How did you decide that you also were going to follow the dream of being an artist and that was your passion?
Well, it started a long time ago when I was a little girl. My dad's an artist and he does a lot of watercolors. He's done all kinds of art though. And we used to sit on the porch when I was a little girl and we used to draw and paint. And I've always done some type of art, drawing, painting, and in fact, one time when I was in the third grade, I got in trouble for drawing pictures instead of doing whatever this was. So the teacher was like, you have to get her to do the assignment and not just do art when she's in the class. And so anyway, it's always been my passion and it's been really what I love and what I'm good at. So in high school, I taught little art classes to kids on the weekends and then I went off to college and I thought I wanted to be a dental hygienist. And I think at the time I thought, well, it would be a good job for a woman. You know, right. If I wanted to get married and have a family, dental hygienist, you could navigate that type of a job and, you know, work part time or work full time and things. I was just trying to figure out what I would be good at. So I went to Tyler Junior College first because I was a dancer also. So I was Apache Belle. I was a dancer from second grade through college. So I went there first and they had a pre-dental hygiene program. So I thought I was going to could do that for a year and then apply for dental hygiene school. And so I was there and I took an art class and the art teacher kept asking me, now, why are you going to be dental hygienist?
Right.
Why are you doing that? And so then I decided that wasn't going to be my path after I took anatomy physiology. I was like, oh no, this is not for me. And I thought there was some type of art in cleaning teeth, I guess. I don't really know. But so I finished my second year there and took my basics. And then I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I thought I was going to be a commercial artist or different things. And my dad wanted to be in a fine artist. He got a fine art degree from a school in New Orleans. They're not open anymore. It was McCready Art School. But he was like, Diana, you should be a teacher. I was like, yeah, I don't want to be a teacher. I don't know if I want to be a teacher. He goes, well, I don't know if you're going to like commercial arts. So blah, 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 blah. So I wound up going to University of Houston kind of at the last minute. I had my dorm room at UT. I was going to be major in art and all this stuff. Last minute changed my mind. Went to University of Houston, got a BS in education, art, all level. And I thought, well, you know, if I ever need to, I can teach art.
Mm-hmm.
So I still was never going to do that. I didn't know what exactly I was going to, but I'm going to do commercial art. So anyway, I got out of school and someone said to me, well, if you don't at least teach for a year, you'll never get a teaching job. I was like, okay, I'll teach for a year and then I'm going to do something different. So I met my husband at the end of college. And we both had graduated from University of Houston, but he's a year older than me. I didn't meet him there. Uh-huh. And I also have a minor in dance. So I thought, well, I'm going to be a dancer. I'm going to go off to LA and be a dancer in New York. And it's like, I'm an art to commercial art. So I didn't do any of that because I met him, fell in love, married.
As you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he didn't keep me from doing it because if I really wanted to have done it, we would have found a way. He would have moved with me or whatever. And you know, he's accounting, finance, and he was a totally totally different side of the brain. He says between us, we have a whole brain. I have the one side, he has the other side. So I taught art in school for a couple of years, and then I quit and had children, and then went back to work and taught high school art and photography, which I just absolutely loved. And I love teaching. I was really good at teaching, and I even have some students that still keep in touch with me, and I always had a passion for it, and I always loved photography, but I was never really a photographer. I was always more of an artist, so I always came at it through the art side and not through the technical side of it. You know, even though I can do lighting ratios and all that, I have to make my brain think that way because that's on the math side, and I don't like the math side. So then I, you know, went back to work and taught school, and I loved it. And then I quit, retired from teaching. My daughter has some special needs, so I had to take her to a special school, and that's okay. That's what I did. And then a few years later, I discovered underwater photography and underwater art, and I thought, that's kind of interesting. I like the water. I've always liked the water. And I jumped in the pool one day and tried it with, you know, and I just fell in love with it. And I was like, this is the one thing I've been searching for my entire art career. Like, what do I really love doing?
Yeah. So, and what makes you different than every other artist out there, right?
Yeah. It does make me different. There's not very many people that do what I do. And then also take it beyond that and create a piece of fine art with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love doing. Mm-hmm. It's not a candid, and I'm not a diver, so it's not out in the ocean, and I do it in my pool. As you know, it's set up like a photo studio, but it's underwater with all kind of special equipment, very safe, very safe. You said you were scared, but you did fantastic. Oh. You know, it's funny because people will come and they'll like, oh, I don't know about this. And so we'll start off in the shallow end, and they get used to it. By the end, they're like, you mean it? We're done? Like, can I do it again? You know, they love it. And what I love about it is that it's so creative, and you can never replicate it exactly the same twice. You know, you can plan a session or photo shoot underwater, and you can say, well, I'm going to do a similar lighting or, you know, similar type fabric, but it never comes out exactly the same. And then after that, I create the art on the computer, which I do a lot of different things to it. It doesn't come out of the camera looking like that. And then sometimes I print it on canvas and I do mixed media, like I do oil painting on it or encaustic wax. And so there's a lot of different things.
There are several things I hear. One is you were always an artist. That was who you are. That's what's in your DNA. That's what you're supposed to do. Uh-huh. But like many of us along the way, we listen to what other people tell us we should be doing instead of to ourselves and what our dreams are. Uh-huh. It worked out, obviously, but I think there are so many women particularly, and I've actually spoken to a lot of men too, who have these careers. You do exactly what you're supposed to do. And then you wake up one day and either are at that point where you can retire from your current job, or you just say, you know what? This is not what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And you make that change and go back to what you really are passionate about and what you love.
Right.
And then you were even on top of that able to discover this new form of art that you hadn't experienced before that really spoke to you.
Right, right. I think, you know, when I look back at my life and my childhood, the two things that I was always doing was doing art, and then I was always playing school. I was always playing school. And I would line up my stuffed animals, and I would make my sister sit in the classroom. So, and we would play school. So I wound up doing that as a career in both things, art and an art teacher.
Wow.
And I think sometimes your childhood gives you peaks of what maybe is that in store for you, or, you know, what you could be good at. Mm. And a lot of times, look, if I'd have gone the dental hygiene path, I wouldn't have lasted in that career because it wouldn't have been my fit. It just wouldn't have been that. And it is hard for a woman because, you know, how do you make all those choices? There's so much more available now for women, for girls, and for women, and for men too. It's just so many different career options. And if you want to do something creative, there's so many more, I mean, there's a lot more doors open and easier paths to attain that than there were back in the dark ages.
What was it like when you started doing underwater art and decided that you were going to switch into this as a second career in your passion? Was it difficult to find the first few clients? to set up your business. You said your husband is finance, so that I'm sure helped a lot because he could think about the business side of everything.
Right.
But what was that like moving into entrepreneurship from having a steady career and job?
Well, it's, you know, it's a learning process.
Yeah.
When I quit working, I joined the Professional Photographers Guild of Houston, and I, you know, met a lot of friends there. And they're a really good source for education for photographers and for creative people. And they do a lot of business things. So there was a whole another world of business that I had to learn. Even though I was married to a business person, I had to start listening to what he was saying. I don't always want to do that, but it's true. It's got to justify itself. I mean, you have to, you know, if you want to be able to do something, you have to find a way to make it work, and it just doesn't come out of the thin air. So, you know, you have to study, I think, and learn things. And so I've done a lot of workshops and just different things like that. Texas Professional Photography Association and PPA of America, you know, they offer a lot of education. I'm always continuing to learn, always with everything, and listening to a lot of speakers that have tips and motivation and, you know, those kinds of things. As far as my own creative, I'm always learning something with art. There's always something new to learn, and I'm taking, you know, like workshops from different people, and maybe it's the same basic principles that I learned a long time ago, but then you see it through a different set of eyes as you progress through your, you know, just through your career. It comes to you in a different way, and you can apply it in a different way. And I enter competitions, which helps you to grow and change with what you're doing. And yeah, so I think just a lot of learning and self-discovery and just keeping on the path, writing down goals. And even though they don't always all happen, they change sometimes, but that's okay too, because you get led to a path that you might not have known you were going to be. Well, I always knew I was going to do art, but I did not always know I was going to do underwater fine art. I mean, if you'd have told me that years ago, I would have gone like, oh, I don't know, you know? Yeah.
So I'm hearing you say there's a lot of education and you should be a lifelong learner in your craft and keep on learning new ways to look at things and learning other people's perspectives. And then you also talked about entering competitions. And I know when I see your posts, I see a lot of your posts on social media that are about these different competitions. So what does that entail and what has that meant for you and for your career?
Oh, gosh, there's a lot into it. You have to have a little bit of a thick skin, which is really kind of hard to do because you enter and you're so, you know, you're attached to it. It's your baby. You know, you've done all this work on it and you've entered it. And then you get, you know, it's the judges score it, you know, and you're kind of going like, oh, well, that's not exactly what I had in mind, you know, when you said that. But it helps you grow and learn. I have to say that competing has really helped me grow and learn. And it is very exciting when you accomplish a goal. You know, I had goals of just I wanted to earn my master's and my master artist, which I did. And through that process, I got Photographer of the Year through the PPH Guild 2 years in a row. And, you know, some other big awards. I just was in a big show in January. And out of thousands of entries, I was the top 32 in three different categories and then the top 16 in one category. So I didn't win the entire show, but that's okay. I felt very honored and blessed to be able to get in it because there's so much talent and so many things. But it's a personal goal for me that I wanted to keep striving and striving for that excellence in my work and have it be the best it can be and, you know, that kind of thing.
And your art is, so it can be mixed media, it can be, you know, oil, you can use a lot of different techniques, digital manipulation sometimes. I remember with mine, I think we took the bottom half of my dress from one photo and used the top half from another one and the angles of the arms and all that stuff to make it the perfect image. But you also produce these images on other things that can be used for gifts and items. And so in that way, you've been able to expand your line, if you will, your product line.
Yeah, I've done different things. I've done some art bottles that lit up before. I've done those kinds of things. And of course, you know, just regular art pieces, whether they be small or large, or they're a box of images and you can take one out at a time and display it and just all kinds of things. It just depends on which way you want to show it. I think you have one of the art bottles, I think, too.
Yeah.
They're really special. You just turn them on, light it up. Brings a bunch of magic to the room.
Yeah.
Yes. Underwater is very rare. Do you get an image that you don't have to put some piece of arm from some other image in there, because it's just, it moves so fast there and it's hard to capture it. And then it moves, but it's got to be the right, that's what makes it a fine art piece and not just a creative image underwater, or I don't want to call it a snapshot, but just a fun capture. That's a different image.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What does life look like today? You enter competitions, you take workshops, you create art. And what's next for Diana Marie Fine Art?
Well, I'm expanding out to other areas of the country. So I'm looking to expand to other, to maybe other galleries and other places like that. My sister keeps telling me, she says, Diana, why are you not teaching? Why are you not teaching workshops and things? So I think this year is going to be the year I'm going to start doing some workshops and things like that. I mean, a lot of people just want to learn. They may not want to go and do everything that I do, but right. they want to learn about it. And then they can take that knowledge and use it in their own way and create their own vision. If you know the basics, then, you know, you can do a lot of things. But developing your own vision and, you know, what you want to achieve with that, there's some creative things that you can do to kind of spark that along. And some people just, they don't really know how to do that or get started. So I think I would be really good at that. And that's some things that I used to do when I taught high school. You know, my kids would go, you never know what Miss Wags is going to have in store for us today. And just doing simple things like contour line drawings that makes you see what's really there and follow the line of the shape and the form, and then shine a light on it and see how the light patterns hit. And then you take your camera and then go create an image, and then you maybe apply the paint. I mean, there's so many different things you can go for it. I miss that aspect of it.
Yeah,
I do. So I think teaching workshops would be yeah. fun.
And you can pass on the gift of learning underwater art, learning new methods, modalities.
Yeah, there's new things to always try. I mean, the sky's the limit with underwater. I mean, you can just have to dream up an idea and then you have to figure it out. I did a tea set one time, a table with a tea set with the little girls with fairy wings, and you know, everything floats. So you had to put rocks in the tea, in the teacup, and you had to weight the arms and legs down. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, but there's always something to explore and just to do that's really fun.
Yeah. Oh, delightful. What is the biggest piece of advice you'd give to somebody who is looking at turning their passion into their career, you know, or looking at their changing, going from retirement or going from a job with a steady paycheck, working for somebody else, to becoming an entrepreneur?
The biggest piece of advice? Well, you need to make a plan. Mm-hmm. Have a plan, or at least have a starting plan. I mean, it's going to grow and change. And, you know, education, always learning. And don't be afraid to try. Just try it. Sometimes it's easier said than done, because then you're like, oh, what are people going to think? But sometimes it doesn't matter what they think. It's how you feel about it. And if you feel good about it, then it will come out that way and other people will feel good about it too. Yeah.
Well, I'd love to know, what's the easiest place for people to see your art, learn how to work with you, or how to purchase or take a future workshop?
Well, Diana Marie Fine Art is my website, my Facebook, and my Instagram. So I just make it easy.
Yes, Diana, very easy.
It is Diana, not Diane, because, you know, yeah. So Diana Marie Fine Art, because my last name, Wagaspak, you would never be able to figure. Yeah. No, my dad, my maiden name was Sheck Snyder. And when I taught school, I got engaged. And my students, at the time, they go like, what is it with these names? There's so many letters. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's just what it is. And my dad, he's always been AJ Sheck Snyder, and people find him. But I just felt like Diana Marie, and that is my name. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Very memorable and beautiful and elegant. So
thank you.
Fantastic. And Diana, do you have a favorite quote or mantra?
Well, I always say, Diana Marie, that's where the magic begins. So I guess that would be it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I also have this other quote, it's not what you see, but what you make the others see, by Edgar Degas. So I want it to be a story and speak to the person.
Yeah.
So, and that's what it, I always tell people when they come and we create a piece. And I do some studio fine art too, but what is the story going to be? What do you want the story to be? And they'll be like, the story. I was like, you know, give me some ideas or different things. And then, you know, that because if you have that something in mind when you start creating, even if it changes along the way, then it has meaning. And that's not always to say that every viewer is going to interpret it the same way that you would interpret it as an artist or the person creating it. But there's a story behind it. There's a story behind every image. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation. I can't wait to connect with you when I'm back in Houston sometime, or maybe when you're in LA showing at a new gallery. So
I'd love that. And you know, I'm always happy to talk to people if they're interested or interested in a piece of art or interested about learning. You know, just reach out to me. You can reach out to me through my website. There's contact me page or Diana@DianaMarieFineArt.com. My email, that contact page goes to my email.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. I love hearing your story about finding your way back to art. And I know that this will be very inspirational for everybody who's watching or listening. And thank you to the audience for being here with us again for another episode of Your Brand Amplified. I'll be back again either tomorrow or in a few days with another amazing guest to share their story.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with a design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.